Thank you, Jess. It's great to have this opportunity to keep the conversation going about these things.
Now, tell us about Save Sydney Trees. How did this all come about?
Well, Saving Sydney's Trees actually started by the side of the road when the community just responded to planning of their light rail that they had been led to believe was going to be something of a marvel. They had expectation that all of the processes and procedures had been done in accordance with what they would expect. And all of a sudden, things turned AWOL. They were very abruptly awakened to the fact that things were not what they were presented to be, and their trees were taken. Massive, historic and significant trees along Allison Road initially. And then we began to realise that these people didn't realise that the very next set of trees that would be taken would be our historic Anzac Memorial trees, Lion Anzac Parade, that has so much history. But not only that, they form part of the lungs of this city. They are massive trees with enormous carbon soaking and particulate cancer absorbing protection to the community, and they didn't seem to be being accounted for.
Mm.
So we formed ourselves into a group to try and educate the rest of Sydney as to what was going on here. In doing that, we started looking at the tree plans that were out there. We cast our eye out at to what was happening with WestConnex. We were aware that Camden were jumping up and down about what had happened out there and their losses. We'd heard from the North Shore where they were losing their trees as well, Manly Dam, Habitat, all of these things. The city was in uproar, and Parramatta. Parramatta was so much history.
Mm.
Their trees haven't even been given any significance, so there's no offset. And the offset plans that we began to see seemed to be a recipe for this continuation of canopy deficit. So we kind of went into a situation where this is critical and have been very motivated to try and bring change and bring awareness to the Parliament that something's very, very wrong here and you need to stop and have a really good look at it now, not just talk about it.
Mm, and before it's too late as well, once a tree's pulled out of the ground, there's no bringing it back, unfortunately.
We're looking for these trees 20 to 50 years, even if they have area to replant, but they're taking the areas to replant. This is an urban environment. You can't just create those spaces out of thin air.
Mm.
And they're continuing to take them without planning. And the planning isn't involving the trees.
Mm. The areas that are concerning me the most personally and the areas that I've seen are really huge, loss of tree habitats and loss of canopies is out towards the west, where you've got enormous construction and development happening in suburbs like Rouse Hill and Kellyville, the Ponds, Schofields, Riverston. They're clearing so huge amounts of trees to build homes and apartments and high density living, and it doesn't seem like much of a plan to put anything back in, to my knowledge.
Looking at it, it looks like they have gone in on a map. Engineers have decided this is what we'll do and it all looks good on paper. Then they go out, they get the concept, and then they go out and have a look. And they're not accounting for the trees. We're working very, very hard on getting the tree canopy, which has a real economic cost to the public in terms of its health cost. If you take away those, and we're seeing it now, if you take away those protections that the trees offer to the city and the well-being of future generations, if you take out a tree with a 10 to 30 square metre canopy and you replace it with a 1 metre tree canopy, as is happening in WestConnex, and there's no consistency in the offsets, it's purely seems to be discretional, there's no rules to protect on this. So then you've got 20 to 50 years for any tree to come to its full potential to actually put back for the community as these trees have done, if they choose something similar. They're not choosing something similar because of power lines and various other things. So it's a pretty incestuous little situation we have. And you've got 2 to 5 generations of children involved in that. Now, we're seeing around Haberfield and the various constructions at the moment that the air quality is in this particulate and these very, very serious air qualities being severely over dangerous levels.
Mm.
And approaching. And to this, we've got planning that is going to bring more and more people. They're not supposed to use cars, but there's going to be. So we're going to be bringing more and more people into these diminished areas. And it has to be looked at. And we've called for a parliamentary inquiry into the light rail in the eastern suburbs because it's a perfect case study of many of the scenarios that that can happen across the city where the trees are not incorporated in the cost-benefit analysis, and base planning stages where they need to be protected, not ploughed through. Clear felling seems to be what's happening. Mm. And they go in and they build, and then they look at the trees as nothing more than a dressing and a little...
A little bit of greenery.
Addition.
Yeah.
An addition.
Mm. So greenwash. This is obviously all started from community outrage and people being very upset, and understandably so. What's the response been like since you started Saving Sydney's Trees?
People have been amazing. There is something intrinsic in all of this that they are responding. They're responding because something inside of them knows that this is wrong. They're responding because their children are standing beside them and they know this is wrong. They've got tears in their eyes and they're asking why. How can they do this? They know the implications. There's nothing wrong with their education system in that regard. And the answer to what is driving this is one that we need to be protecting our children from, because it's not a solid answer, it would seem. But no, we've achieved a great deal with the support of the community. We have achieved this parliamentary inquiry, and just if I can impose, our inquiry submissions close today. So if people go into Saving Sydney's Trees and look at the template we've got and the links we have there, or they can go into the parliamentary webpage and look up committees, and they can actually make a submission, and because it's their dollars that are going towards this, it's their dollars that will actually have to pick up the health budget that will come out of this in respiratory disorders that we're already seeing, and the government's already starting to spend more and more on these sorts of things. Our obesity, as our parks and green spaces and those sorts of things are being taken. And then there's the energy bills that people have to take as heat islands are being created across the city, all of which is not positive. There's so many negatives. So we've achieved this inquiry. We're still pushing for the cost-benefit analysis. We're looking for arboricultural industry recognition and better things for the future that will lead to planning, that will incorporate these and hopefully get some good results. So that's why this inquiry was so important to us, that awareness be brought to the failures and paths be made to make sure this never happens again, because it is really a disaster.
Well, Margaret, unfortunately, we're out of time, so we'll have to leave
it
there.
But thank you so much for the time.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Bye.
That was Margaret Hogg there from a grassroots initiative, Saving Sydney's Trees.